You're listening to Clouser on Business. Thanks for coming back. I'm Clouser, your host. Glad you're with us today. Our topic today is on business transitions. I'm happy to have Frank Dane, a partner at B2B CFO, as my guest today to discuss the types of business transitions and the planning considerations needed for a successful transition. Frank began his career in public accounting at Price Waterhouse. He has a master's in accounting, a Juris Doctor in law, and holds a CPA license on an inactive status. In addition to his work with B2B, he also teaches at the university level. Frank left public accounting for Silicon Valley, where he served as CFO for a software company. That company was awarded the Global Frost & Sullivan Award for market leadership and another for growth strategy leadership. Frank's broad-based experience and training is just one of his many strengths. He's known for his ability to analyze and implement practical solutions to his clients and to help them strengthen their infrastructure and operations. On top of all this, he's a devoted husband and father. Welcome, Frank. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Clouser. I'm very excited about having the opportunity to spend some time with your audience, and I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, you're welcome. One of the things in my heart is to help young people coming into business. How's that combination of having a background in law and accounting helped you in your career?
Well, it's a very practical thing to have at the level of the CFO. Because you have to deal with not only accounting and finance issues, but there's a lot of legal issues. And in my position as the CFO of a public company, I was able to handle the patents, get involved in any litigation that we had. But most of all, it's the awareness that you develop from having the background and the education in accounting and law. You can look down the road and see what snakes there might be coming out of the grass or under the rocks.
Now, was this your plan when you came out of college, or did this develop after being in business for a while?
It actually developed after being in business. I was very fortunate to start my career with Price Waterhouse, and after about 4 years working for them, I had made my way up to audit manager, and then I decided that I was having a very good time. It was an exciting time. It was right at this height of the Silicon Revolution. One day we'd be in a garage playing around with some crazy invention. The next day we'd be doing someone's public offering. So I got a lot of experience in that, a lot of different industries, but I felt there was something missing, and that's when I decided to go to law school. And I did not have a plan when I went into law school to drop out of public accounting or to hang out a law shingle. I just wanted that knowledge and the opportunities that it would afford me. And once I finished, that's when I decided that I wanted to not hang out a shingle as an attorney or as a CPA, but I wanted to combine my knowledge and experience and provide business consulting on a not only a financial but an operating level.
Have you found more fun with the accounting side or the law side?
You know, it's the fun has really been the combination of the two, and to be able to go into a room and surprise not only the accountants but the attorneys with the knowledge that they sometimes don't expect to find in a CFO.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Hey, well, to our topic today, tell our listeners how you're defining what a transition is and what are the types of ownership transitions.
Sure, be glad to do that. So what is business transition planning? Very simply, it's the process of preparing for the day that a business owner steps down from his or her leadership role. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to be out of the business completely, but they are basically no longer the king or queen of the operation. And there's a number of ways, various types, and we'll discuss them more in more detail later, but right now, let me just name them. You can have a transfer to a family member. You can do an MBO, which is a management buyout. You can have a buyout from your employees, or you can do an IPO, which is an initial public offering, or you can have an outright sale of the business.
Are there any of those type of transitions more prevalent than others?
Well, the transition to family members, the statistics on that are very poor. I don't remember them exactly, but it's about 30% or make it to the second generation, and then the third generation loses even more. So there are those transitions, but typically they're not very successful. And the sale of the business is usually the out for most people.
What is the reason for that lack of continuity, though, in that next generation?
I think it's just that, the senior starts the business. They're very enthusiastic about it. then junior comes along and he either doesn't have an interest in the business or he's really just not up to the task.
So what are the typical reasons for transition planning?
Okay. Well, first of all, it ensures that the business continues in the event that the owner is unable to lead. That could be because of death or disability. It's a preparation for the transition. It lets you maintain control over the outcome. You have planning options. The sooner you start planning, the more options you have. As you get closer to the time that you want to exit or retire, your options begin to decrease. You plan to reduce or eliminate taxes on the transition, and you're protecting the value of the company. It was Zig Ziglar once said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So my theory has always been you have to plan.
Yeah. And when should this planning process begin? How far in advance of the transition?
Well, as far in advance as you can. 5 years is a really good number. It can be done quicker. But again, the longer you have to plan, the better off you are. And in fact, when I start working with companies that are just starting up, part of the 5-year strategic plan or the business plan is how are you going to exit? What are your exit options?
Yeah, most people I've found in my business career, they're really eager to get into a business, but they really overlook the most important thing. You know, how am I going to disengage from this thing?
Exactly.
So how do you take your, what elements would be included in your planning as you work with your clients, Frank?
Well, there's 5 basic elements that we want to look at that impact the business value and the marketability. And let me start with the EBITDA, which is the earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And basically what you're doing there as that element of calculating the value and the marketability is you're taking your accrual-based earnings and you're adjusting them to a pre-tax cash basis earnings because your buyer wants to know, what's the cash I'm going to get out of this business? The second factor that will impact the value and marketability is the risk, and that will vary by industry, by product, by the economy. The third are the prospects for the future growth of EBITDA. The more possibilities of growth, the higher the value you can anticipate. And then you also have to consider the degree of owner management. And this may sound counterintuitive, but the less you're involved, the better off you are, the higher the value of the business, because then the business can be transitioned or sold. You don't go along with it, and the new owner has a thriving business and is not dependent on the current owner.
And the reverse of that is the current owner is so involved in the business that the value is his involvement or her involvement in that business.
That's exactly right, and that's the situation you don't want to be in, and that's why wherever you are in the transition stage, you have to be planning for a succession. You don't want to be the only one that's running the business, getting the big accounts, and the one that's making it happen all by yourself.
Now, in practicality, you say plan out as early as you can, but in reality, how does that look like?
In reality, that typically doesn't happen. Some people will start, 4 or 5 years down the road, but more often than not, someone reaches a point where they're just, I'm tired of this business. I want to retire. I want to work less. Get me out of this. And that's exactly at the time when I have to say, well, let's wait. Let's sit down. Let's look at the value. Let's do some planning, and we'll see how quickly we can get you out. But we want you to get the maximum value that you can.
So you'll start working with these clients on how to, say, for instance, build up that EBITDA. What other things might you help with?
Yes, absolutely. We would go in. We basically go through a 6-stage process, and I won't get into each stage, but the goal is to increase the profits and cash from the operation, which converts into a higher EBITDA. And by driving that upward, by the time we get to the transition stage, we've maximized the value, and we go out into the market with the highest value possible.
Yeah, so these steps you take your clients through, the planning steps, why don't you please elaborate on it?
Sure.
Because I think people would want to know what those steps are.
Okay. Again, I'm going to break it down to 5 basic items. The first step, which is probably the first step in almost everything we do or should be, is to identify the goals. The next step is to assemble a team of advisors, which we call the success team. Then we have to explore the options, what options are available to you. And again, if you recall, I said the sooner we start, the more options you have. And then we design a plan, and the final step is we finalize the plan and implement the plan. And that's the overall 5-point steps. I can go into each one of those a little further if you'd like.
Yeah, let's do that, because I'm really in my heart have the people that are listening that would want to know. Maybe they're at a point where they're thinking about transitioning out or doing something. So yeah, please do.
Okay, so let's talk about step one first, identifying the goals. Now, we want to look at the owners and other people that are affected. We call them stakeholders that are affected. And here's some examples. You might want to obtain the most money. That might be your goal. Maybe you want more time and freedom. And that's where we, where I had mentioned that you don't necessarily have to exit completely. You might partially exit, sell part of the business, stay on as a consultant or even an employee. But you're obtaining more time and freedom because you're no longer the point person. A third goal may be to continue running the business, but diversify your estate. Many business owners, all of their retirement planning is in their business. They haven't built a portfolio. They've continually put money in the business because of their enthusiasm and their passion. So if they don't get the right price for their business, their retirement isn't going to be correct. So someone may want to sell part of the business, continue in it, but get some money to diversify their estate. The other another goal may be just to leave a legacy, to maintain family harmony. It stays in the business, notwithstanding the statistics that we mentioned prior. Then the other thing you want to do is keep control as long as possible and diversify along the way. That's another goal. Or you may want to pass it on to your employees. So that's the first step. And once we identify that, then we go into step two, which is to assemble the success team.
Can I ask a question for you?
Please.
At that point of identifying what the goals are, who's sitting around the table with you?
Oh, okay. Well, certainly the business owner. Probably there, it'd be good to have their financial advisor there. And we don't need too many more at that point in time, because we are just looking at the goals. When we determine what the goals are, that's when we start bringing people in. That's when we assemble the success team. But to determine the goal, it's really the business owner, maybe their family, and their financial advisor, because he should know what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He or she should know what they're thinking.
Yeah. Okay. And so then you the next step is to assemble that success team.
Yeah. And I'll go through and I'll list what a full success team would be, but not every transition requires all of these. So, of course, you have an attorney, because there's going to be lots of documents that have to be done. You need a tax specialist, which is typically a CPA. Then, depending on the size of your business, you would either have an M&A, a mergers and acquisition company, for the bigger transitions. Then, as you go down into mid-market and lower market, you may have an investment banker instead of an M&A company. And for your smaller businesses, just simply a business broker. Then you want to add to that team a financial planner, a business appraiser, because not only are we going to calculate the value based on EBITDA, but we want to get more than a 1-point fix. So we'll probably have an appraiser do the business and come up with some other views or methodologies on valuing it. Then we'll have an insurance advisor, a banker, because there may be funding that's needed in order to pull off the transaction. And now here's where it gets a little dicey. The key employees, because the owner is typically in a place where he doesn't want a lot of the employees to know what's going on, so he or she has to be very careful about what key employees are going to be involved, what they know, are they going to stay afterwards, and then of course the family members might be involved, and a team manager, and that's typically the position that I would take, managing the team in order to keep the owners working in the business so that they're not distracted by all the due diligence and all the paperwork that has to be done. We want to keep them in the business, manage the team so that the owner can keep steering the boat.
So on that key employee point, how do you coach your clients? Anything specific you think of, or a story maybe?
Well, the very most important thing is, what is the relationship they have? You might go into a company where there's an older person who's been the owner, and they've been bringing someone up all along the way, and maybe it's always been the plan that they'd be involved, so there's no issue there. Then the second level would be key employees that don't know what's happening, but they're very good employees, they're loyal. So at that point, you might start to bring those in, And then, of course, you have the third type of employee. They're a key employee, but they're not cooperative. You've been thinking about whether or not I should let them go, but you can't replace them. And those are the ones you have to be very careful with, because they're the ones that can start trouble when they hear that you're going to exit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Frank, this is really exciting. And, you know, sometimes time goes by really fast. I'm getting a sign that we're almost out of time here. So I need you to come back and finish this up. And how we're going to get someone to where they're going to sell their business or transition in a form or another way. You can find out more about Frank on our website, clauseronbusiness.com. And you can also find out how to get a free book, the Exit Strategy Handbook, through B2B CFO. Well, we're out of time today. Glad you're with us. You're listening to Clauser on Business.